Live. This is Free Talk Live. And we're very happy that you decided to join us tonight. Us tonight is myself, Chris.
And I'm Ian.
All right. And this is a different kind of radio show. I'm sure everybody has listened to talk radio at one point or another in their life, and they are used to hearing the opinions of the hosts. They're used to hearing everything that is good with Republicans and is bad with Democrats, or is great with Democrats and bad with Republicans, and we're a different kind of show.
Yeah, I think they're all bad.
Yeah.
And well, I say put. That as a new Republican. I'm no longer registered as a Libertarian.
I forgot to give you your congratulations for joining the party of Lincoln, as it were.
Gross.
There you go. But we're not that kind of not that kind of radio show. What we're going to be talking about is liberty, and we think that's very important. And we want you to understand where we're coming from. We want to understand where you're coming from, and we want to see if we can introduce a little bit more liberty and freedom in our lives, and that would be a great thing. How's it been going, Ian?
Busy
day.
There's always a lot going on, lots in the news, lots that we can talk about here tonight. Of course, we'll take your calls. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Also, we've got Discord, and there are on-air call-in line rooms on our Discord, discord.lrn.fm. That's if you want to sound like you are sitting in the studio with us here, because you will. You will sound very good.
And it does sound that good.
Yeah.
And if Ian sounds like he's done this before, that's because he's done it for, what, close to 20 years? And I'm on my second night.
Your second night in the first chair, and you did great last week.
Oh, that's all right. We'll see if I can equal my previous performance.
But, you showed up on time, so that...
Is that really it?
That helps.
Dude, how many points do I get for that?
Well, Rich Paul is supposed to be joining us here. I'm sure I'm going to have to go drag him out of wherever it is that he is, because he loses track of time.
Rich will show up. But yeah. One thing that has certainly been in the news, I'm sure you've heard the news out of Houston.
What happened in Houston?
So basically what it was on the word of a confidential informant, some police officers went to serve a no-knock warrant or a simultaneous knock and go in the door of a couple in Houston. They burst through the door while screaming police and were quickly met with rounds from the person who lived there.
Okay.
As I think a lot of people would likely do if it were, I think it was early in the morning and you heard screaming and your door being knocked open.
Now, were these actual cops who were going through, or were these other criminals who were masquerading as police?
In this instance, this was the actual police.
Okay.
They were serving a warrant because a confidential informant had told them that there were drugs in the house. Now, since they've got a chance to go through, all police were killed in this.
What?
Excuse me. Both suspects were killed.
Oh.
And I don't know I think the story will cover who's still living on the police side, but it was a...
Did cops get killed too?
I believe so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is this the one where there were... it was the wrong house?
There's been some conjecture as to that, but the address of the building does match what was on the warrant.
Hmm.
So we do know that, but...
But that doesn't mean it was the right house.
That's correct. Or that there were ever any drugs there. And this comes to us from Reason.com. No-knock warrant for deadly drug raid describes heroin and a gun cops didn't find.
Mm-mm.
Houston narcotics officers thought busting into the house without warning was the, quote, cautious approach. According to the search warrant authorizing... Yeah, exactly.
And what? Cautious versus what? Busting in with a tank without warning? I mean, what is it that's less cautious than busting into someone's house with, you know, guns pulled, shouting? I mean, how is that cautious?
I there's a lot to discuss about that, and I really believe that, you know, if you are one of those people, and there are a lot of you out there who you know, really, you put value in not only human life, but police officers' lives. You don't want them, you don't want a kid to not have his son, his father come home at the end of the day. I get that. But is no knock really the right way to do that? My argument is you are putting everybody in a tremendous amount of harm.
But Chris, they might flush the drugs. That's why they need to no knock.
Yes, and that's a great point. The reason why it was argued and the Supreme Court upheld this, the reason they do no knock is so that they cannot get rid of evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, in this instance, you have a number of police officers getting shot. I believe a couple of them critically, but we'll get into that here. According to the search warrant authorizing the drug raid that killed a middle-aged Houston couple in their home on Monday, police were expecting to find many plastic bags containing a, quote, brown powder identified as black tar heroin. Instead, they found an unspecified amount of marijuana and a white powder that they thought might be cocaine or fentanyl. The no-knock warrant obtained by KTRK, the ABC affiliate in Houston, was approved by Houston Municipal Court Judge Gordon Markham on Monday afternoon after 3.5 hours before, about 3.5 hours before narcotics officers burst into the home of Dennis Tuttle and Rodina Nicholas at 7815 Harding Street. On Sunday, the officer who applied for the search warrant says in his affidavit, he sent a confidential informant to buy heroin at that location from a, quote, white male whose name is unknown, unquote. The CI emerged from the house with a quantity of brown powder, that's in quotes, and reported that he had seen more of it packaged in a, quote, in large containers, a large quantity of small baggies, unquote.
So the cops sent their informant into this, allegedly, into this house?
To buy heroin.
Uh-huh.
Allegedly, the CI said, yeah, I bought heroin, and there's a bunch more in there.
Uh-huh.
It's all over the place. The officer, whose name is blacked out, says he was watching the informant the whole time and adds that afterwards, quote, surveillance was placed on the above location in question by narcotics officers, unquote.
Mm-hmm.
So where did the heroin go? According to the affidavit, there were numerous bags in the house on Sunday. Yet they had disappeared by the following evening, notwithstanding the police surveillance.
So they raided by the next night.
Right.
Okay.
After they had put surveillance in place.
Mm-hmm.
Allegedly, people were watching this house the whole time.
Yeah.
And they go in the next day and there is nothing there. That is
except
not,
for some marijuana and an unidentified as yet, or at least maybe they will identify later in the story, white substance.
Right. And at this point, they have not identified and they have not released what they've identified it as. But it could be anything. That is not the only inconsistency. The CI claimed to have seen a, quote, semi-automatic handgun of a 9mm caliber, unquote, in the house on Sunday. Yet police found no such weapon on Monday. In addition to the .357 Magnum that Tuttle reportedly fired at the narcotics officers after they knocked down his door and killed his dog with a shotgun.
Oh, man.
Police found 3 shotguns, a .22 rifle, and a Remington 700 bolt action rifle.
But this is Texas.
That is a paltry amount of firearms.
Yeah.
It's a paltry amount of firearms for your average home in New Hampshire, I think.
It's Texas, though. I mean, so it's not uncommon to find guns, I would imagine, in somebody's home.
Right. And if people have a deer rifle, which is what a 700 Remington is, you know, bolt-action rifle, they're likely going to have a shotgun.
So both of these folks ended up getting killed by the cops.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's correct.
This is tragic.
Yes.
So, I mean, look, if the idea is that they had all this heroin and the house was then put under surveillance for the next 24 hours and then they raid the house and were wondering where the heroin went to... presumably, they would have seen somebody leave if they, you know, if they'd left the residence.
One so
they
would have thought.
Should have tracked them that way. But also, so it's not like they got tipped off, right? Because
no.
If they were tipped off, they would have gotten rid of the marijuana as well.
One would think.
So there's more coming up here.
855-450-FREE. That's 855-FREE as in freedom.
Yeah.
Thank you. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. We're coming to you live like we do every single night, 365 days a year, regardless of whether it's, if it's a holiday, we're still in here. If something amazing happened in the news, we're going to be in here talking about it. Now we got somebody else joining us.
Presuming we know about it, sometimes we're completely oblivious to what's going on. So that's why we have open phones, so you can let us know about it.
That's a good point. And
the toll-free number is what?
It is 855-450-FREE. Free as in freedom. And
right.
Joining us tonight, we got Rich Paul.
Yay.
How are you, Rich?
Life is good. How you doing, Chris?
Good. I'm very good, thank you. And we've been talking about a couple different things, and some things that we see in the news are sad, but one thing that is not sad is cryptocurrency, and that is brought to you tonight by Bitcoin.com. Bitcoin.com is your premier source for everything Bitcoin-related. Bitcoin.com can help you choose a Bitcoin wallet, buy Bitcoin, and show you where you can spend your Bitcoin. You can also read the latest news or engage in the community with on the Bitcoin forums, and you can learn more about that at Bitcoin.com. And, Rich, we've been talking about this tragic, tragic event that happened in Houston, Texas, involving another no-knock raid. And if you're not familiar with the term no-knock raid...
Wait, there was a tragic one, too? I heard some home invaders got what they deserved.
That is certainly one way to look at it. I'm going to call it a tragic one because
in this case,
two innocent people died.
Yeah, the two people
the innocents
were in the home.
Were killed. That was unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the dog, the innocent dog as well.
Yes, because a dog is a lethal threat.
The cops want you to believe.
Well, and really, I don't know how postal employees make it through. I mean, how do they even end up retiring? Aren't they all killed by dogs?
No, they carry things like mace.
They do.
Yeah.
And sometimes...
Takes care of it.
I've talked to a couple mail carriers, and sometimes they'll use their boot.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And frequently that will dissuade a dog from attacking. But police officers like to go in guns blazing, and I've it's not a week that goes by that we don't hear about some new example of puppy side.
Yep. Isn't there a website for that?
There is. I'm sure there is. I just watched a video. It couldn't have been more than a week or two ago, but the dog could not have weighed more than 6 pounds. I mean, the dog was tiny. I almost had admiration for the police officer who brutally murdered the dog for being able to shoot such a small target from such a great distance. It was disgusting and sad.
The website, by the way, is PuppysideDB, as in database, PuppysideDB.com, and they have recorded 2,939 acts of violence by police against animals.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Unbelievable. But we were talking about this no-knock raid, and for those of you who may not be familiar with what a no-knock raid is, that means that police officers can petition the judge to classify a particular warrant as a no-knock warrant. They're not all automatic no-knock warrants. They have to get a little bit of additional information, and then the judge can say, okay, I understand your reasoning here. This is protected. The police are protected in using these by a Supreme Court decision, which they successfully argued that if you gave the suspect more time than necessary, they could get rid of the evidence. And the evidence, it's just drugs.
That's
what
all.
They're talking about.
Yep. They're going to get rid of the drugs. Got to be a no-knock.
Right. So we have to do a no-knock.
Maximum violence.
I don't have the exact numbers, but I'm going to ballpark it, and I'm going to ballpark it really, really close because I just read this. I was looking up what the number of no-knock raids were when they started doing them, and that was kind of in the early 80s. There were about 400 of them nationwide.
Per year. Now it's, 40,000?
In 2004, they served 50,000 no-knocks.
Wow.
So a reason, whether you're pro-police, whether you're anti-police, whether you're pro-drug, anti-drug, people get killed in these things. That's the problem. It is a systemic problem.
Well, if we want to stop drugs, you got to break a few eggs.
No.
You got to break a few eggs.
You got to build a wall. Didn't we just learn this last week?
You
got to
build a wall and break eggs.
Which one is
you got to throw eggs off the wall like Humpty Dumpty, and they break, and all the king's horses and all the king's men.
Somebody had to come forward with the Humpty Dumpty analogy. But this idea that you are going to stop drugs by making them illegal.
You just need to raid harder. Just raid harder. More raids, more often, more hard raids. Yeah, more violence, more killing dogs. Eventually those drug users will get the message, won't they?
Will they? I'm asking you. I'm asking the people out there. Either hit us up on Discord or call us at 855-450-FREE.
How do they get us on Discord?
Oh, go to discord.lrn.fm.
Okay, great.
See?
Good
Ian,
plan.
I am helping out here because Ian is beginning to forget things. Like he just forgot where Discord was.
Right.
That's right.
It's a good thing you're here.
I'm gonna keep playing that one. But in this case, it was yet another no-knock warrant, and yep. As we just learned in the last segment,
and more unnecessary killing.
The confidential informant and confidential informants are notoriously unreliable.
Right.
This is where most cases tend to fall apart because a police officer didn't see it. He's just getting the word of someone who is trying to get something out of this.
Right. Usually it's getting off on some sort of criminal charge.
Right. When he's been busted for drugs or something like that.
I remember your case, Rich Paul. There was a confidential informant who was busted for dealing heroin who then rolled on you for selling marijuana. So they actually let a heroin dealer free into the streets so they could bust Rich for selling weed.
Richie the snitch, Richie DuPont. Oh, yeah.
and that's absurd. Well,
and Rich's case was particularly unique because you actually didn't take a plea deal, so you went to trial, so they actually had to put the snitch on trial. Because most of the time they're going to tell the snitch, oh, don't worry, you won't have to testify.
Yeah.
Well, in this case, he did have to testify, so everybody got to see his face.
And they got to see his face with fewer teeth too.
Because, really?
Yeah. Funny thing. I apparently he got into it with my friend Mark at work one day, and
really?
He lost some teeth. I was
Mark Capuzzo.
I can't imagine what they were arguing over.
Whoops! Snitches get dentures.
Yeah, in this case.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, so I'm going to jump back into this story. And again, when they went in the next day, keep in mind the police allegedly had a confidential informant who said, I just bought some brown substance in a plastic baggie, and there's plenty more baggies there. The police officers immediately placed the residents under surveillance. Mm-hmm. They're watching it the whole time. They go in, and they find no baggies. So where did the heroin go? According to the affidavit, there were numerous bags of it in the house on Sunday, yet they had disappeared by the following evening, notwithstanding the police surveillance. This is not the only inconsistency. The CI claimed to have seen, quote, a semi-automatic handgun of a 9mm caliber, unquote, in the house, and there was no such weapon there.
Flushed it down the toilet.
They must have. They did find his .357, which he allegedly fired at the narcotics officers as they were breaking his door down and killing his dog.
Then eventually killing him.
Yeah.
And his girlfriend or wife or whatever.
Yep. And it's very sad. 855-450-FREE. Call us. Let us know what you think. This is Free Talk Live.
Bitcoin.com is delighted to announce their latest partnership with the gift card specialists at eGifter. With many of the world's leading brands on their roster, it is now easier than ever to get the gift cards of your favorite brands with Bitcoin Cash. To get started, just follow these simple steps. Visit giftcards.bitcoin.com, pick the gift card you want, follow the instructions on your screen, and make your payment using your Bitcoin Cash wallet. Sit tight and your gift card will be delivered to you as soon as it's ready. That's giftcards.bitcoin.com.
This is Free Talk Live, coming to you live like we do every single night, 855-450-FREE. We are talking liberty, we are talking freedom, and right now we are talking about some police officers that served a no-knock warrant
it's
in
been
Texas.
Yeah, it's These things happen so often, and you know we don't talk about them very often, considering right. how often they go down. This one particularly bloodier than your typical ones.
Yes, yes, and regardless of what side you're on, you know, if you're pro drug, okay, you're going to be upset because there was nobody harming anybody here,
right?
But the police decided to come in with guns blazing, and this is what happens.
And you don't have to be pro-drug for that, you know. I don't I mean, heroin is a bad thing. I don't approve of people using it.
Right.
I just don't approve of people killing other people for using it. And I don't care about the heroin when it comes down to violence. If you kick down another man's door without his permission, then you deserve a face full of hot lead.
Right.
Doesn't matter what the judge said.
And I think most police supporters would agree with that too. They would agree that you own your home. Your home is your castle. And does that mean that you can just be literally people can knock down your door and shoot first and ask questions later? And that's the question. It is not something. I mean, there was so much written prior to the United States existing. English common law, the Magna Carta, all talking about overreaches of government and things that they attempted to put in place to prevent them.
Oh, but that's before they had flush toilets. Flush toilets changed morality.
What? Is that what it did?
Well, without toilets, they couldn't flush the evidence.
Gotcha.
Never heard quite that take on it.
Yep.
But I do want to go to the phones here real quickly. We've got Ron in New York who wants to discuss the 2020 election. Give me just a
Ron is obsessed with the 2020 election. Mm. I think that's what he always calls about.
Well, let me see if I can correctly get to him, possibly get to him.
All right.
I don't know. I thought
we have Ron.
Good libertarian.
Hi. Ron, you're on Free Talk Live.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Turn him up a bit there on the board. Just turn that ISDN
Hello?
Up. Yeah, we hear you
Go
fine.
Ahead. We hear you fine.
Okay. So I've got some good news for anybody who is a principled libertarian. It looks like Bill Weld may soon no longer be our problem.
Now, who's Bill Weld?
I saw that today.
So Bill Weld, the moderate neocon who, or the wolf in sheep's clothes, essentially, who essentially, when he was governor, he was pro-gun control, he was pro-eminent domain. He was pretty much the exact opposite of a libertarian. Mm-hmm. But then a week before the Libertarian Convention in 2016, changed his party affiliation to Libertarian so he could be the nominee just because he was the governor of Massachusetts. He's saying, apparently, that he's going to make an announcement in New Hampshire on February 15th about whether he's running for president. But apparently there are people close to him saying he's not going to run as a libertarian. He's actually going to primary Trump.
Well, that would be wonderful news, because I had asked the question the other day of, you know, will Trump actually have a primary challenger on the Republican side? Because purportedly there are supposed to be a lot of Republicans that didn't like Trump,
right,
who kind of got behind him because he ended up getting the nomination, but they still weren't happy about it.
The never Trumpers.
Yeah.
And Weld has come out, you know, but how does Weld, Weld came to New Hampshire a few years back, and did he not say something to the effect of, you know, with God as my witness, you'll never see me as a Republican. You'll never see me as anything but a libertarian again as long as I live, so help me God. Wasn't there something like that?
Yeah.
I think there was.
Right now, I guess the GOP is, like, whipping out about the idea. And I guess I think Ronna McDaniel, I think her name is, the Republican, the GOP, the head of the GOP, or the GOP chairman, is saying, oh, well, he can run as a libertarian all he wants, but we don't want him.
Right.
And I guess Corey Lewandowski was calling him an opportunist. I mean, listen, I love it, because you know he's not going to go, and he's not going to get anywhere, because, number one, he's nowhere near as conservative enough to get the nomination. And number two,
not in today's world.
Well, I mean, Donald Trump wasn't exactly whatever a conservative is, he didn't kind of meet that definition either. I mean, Trump's a former Democrat, right?
New York Democrat.
But he still flipped his positions on a number of issues. Like, he was, like I think in, like, 2000, he was, like, pro-choice, and he was, like, pro-universal health care, and he pretty much, like, flipped that. He pretty much got rid of that and took a pretty much a Tea Party position.
Well, before he was for them. No, he was against them before he was for them. This is the tough thing about politicians. I can never remember if they were for them before they were against them, or against them before they were for them.
Well, I can say I'm against them, politicians.
Politicians?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. So, but like, so well, like the thing Donald Trump, the advantage he had was when he said he was like pro-choice and pro-universal health care and all that stuff, he said those things like 16 years before he ran for president as a Republican.
Right.
But Bill Weld, just like a couple of years ago, is saying, oh, I'm pro-choice and I'm pro all these things that Republicans don't agree with. So that's going to be a hurdle in his path. And plus, I saw a poll that like 90% of Republicans supported Donald Trump. It was just like the politicians that were it was essentially mainly establishment Republicans that want him out.
Right.
But I guess like a vast majority of like grassroots registered Republican voters actually support him, which makes it unlikely he's not going to be the nominee.
So does this mean I have to be confronted by all my libertarian friends, and I'm not registered as anything, and I like it that way, yelling at me for not jumping on the Weld bandwagon? Because I didn't like any. First of all, it was really hard to tell what Bill Weld was for or against.
He was for Hillary.
Yeah,
he was real clear on that.
There we go. And he was also very much for Obama at one point.
Yeah.
But I just really got tired of it. You know, hearing libertarians say, you know, you just got to suck it up. You know, I know.
I think Rich was one of those libertarians, right? Didn't you go like all in on Johnson Weld?
I supported Johnson. I never cared about Weld
really?
One way or the other. I don't have any interest in Weld. Mm-hmm. I think Johnson.
Why is Johnson better than Weld in your mind?
Well, I mean, Johnson, for one thing, doesn't have any things in his past like, you know, Weld did sign a gun control bill once. He says he opposed it, but he signed it anyway. That doesn't impress me. Johnson doesn't have anything like that in his past. I mean, Johnson didn't make a priority of eliminating the bake the cake laws. That wasn't as big a deal to him as it was to some people who just, you know, that's the most important thing to them. Yeah. You gotta protect yourself from gay cakes, but nobody else. I mean, that is my only complaint about Johnson. And Johnson didn't even say keep the law. He just said bake the cake. Don't be a dick, which is a reasonable thing to say. Can I say that?
You can say that.
Okay, yeah. Groovy.
Because you're not talking about a body part or anything like that,
right.
So it's okay.
It's a descriptor.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Ron, for your call here tonight.
Yeah, appreciate
that. And it is good news that Bill Weld may not, still not clear, he may not be running as a libertarian this time around.
It's not going to hurt my feelings.
Yeah. And that means the libertarians might actually have a libertarian candidate, because if Weld had run, he may have gotten it. Simply because he's a former politician or current politician.
Yeah, and believe former it or governor. Not, folks, there is a Libertarian Party out there. Occasionally they put up an actual candidate to run for the office of President of the United States. But more importantly, they run for local offices and things like that. You should check them out, 855-450-FREE. We are with you tonight, myself, Chris,
Rich Paul,
I'm Ian,
and we've been discussing a no-knock raid that went horribly wrong in Texas, and we've got some other things we'd like to talk about tonight, but I'm going to finish up where we were discussing this story, and this has to do, again, with the no-knock raid that went down in Houston, Texas, both quote-unquote suspects in this were shot dead by police officers, and a number of police officers were wounded, some seriously, when they tried to execute a warrant using a technique called no-knock.
All of it is completely senseless, a total waste of life. And you just told me off the air, these folks had lived there for 20 years.
Yeah, it wasn't like they just moved into the neighborhood. It wasn't like people there didn't know them. And I think it stretches the incredulity a little bit to think that, oh, my God, you know, Bob and Wanda were massive
heroin
kingpins.
Except there weren't any were no bags of heroin found.
Right. And there was also no firearm that the confidential informant.
Well, there were firearms.
There were, but not like he had described it. He was very specific, you know, a semi-automatic 9mm pistol.
They didn't find
that. In clear view. There wasn't one of those.
Found a shotgun.
They did.
Found a rifle.
They did. They did not find all sorts of baggies filled with brown, black tar heroin, or what they suspected were that. And as this continues, as it turns out...
Well, now, one of the questions that they didn't answer in the story is they said they sent a confidential informant in, and the CI ostensibly bought one of these bags of heroin.
Right.
Did they ever test that heroin, or did the CI put it up his nose, you know, or shoot it up, or whatever it is that, you know, you do with a bag of black tar heroin?
I don't know, and they haven't talked about it here. This is, I think, the second or third article on this that Reason's done, so I know they've covered more of the details in previous pieces, but these are all good questions. I mean, by the third article, I think we would have had some answers by now, but the police seem to be very tight-lipped about this, except to say, we're going out there, we're putting our lives on the line every single day. And
to violate your rights. Mm-hmm. Why don't you appreciate it?
I did not bring this story in, but the head of the police union in Texas, or at least in Houston, came out and said, you know, I've had enough of you dirtbags calling us murderers and things like that. And we know who every one of you are.
Wait, talking about his critics?
Talking about critics of this particular case.
Well, I'm one of them. That guy who called and said, hey, you're the reason we need AR-15s and M-16s. That was me. Write that down.
Does Rich's position strike you as a little bit strong? If so, call us at 855-450-FREE.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to get anybody calling in to support no-knock raids. I mean, are there actually people who think this was a good plan?
Apparently the judge did.
Besides the cops and besides the judge. You know, like actual people. Like people who behave like human beings.
Oh, people, not pigs.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the whole thing. I mean, is this... I think anybody can say, you know, you can certainly make the excuse that, well, you know, if we do knock, they're likely going to flush the drugs. And that's our evidence. And if we're going to put these heroin-dealing, you know, 59-year-old couple in jail... then we have to catch them with it in their hands. People can wrap their heads around that because they've been convinced that there's a war on drugs. And they're convinced that this war is winnable despite the fact that we've spent $1 billion over...
It's way more than that.
50
they managed
years.
To prosecute me based just on what they bought from me. They didn't have to do a no-knock raid. They arrested me in a parking lot.
Right.
Perfectly safe.
But another appeal of the no-appeal...
Right. They specifically didn't want to arrest you like here on this property because there's cameras all over the place.
Right.
Well, there's cameras all over the place and there's more than one gun or at least there certainly has been.
They wanted you alone. They wanted you separate from your friends.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. They wanted me separate from my friends and they thought they were going to get me without my friends knowing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They were like, we want to get you back to the Keene Activist Center before anybody knows you've been arrested. I remember I said to the FBI agent, you have no idea who I am, do you? They 800 people knew I was arrested before we left the CVS parking lot
because
Wendy had called Pork 411, so that was absolutely true.
So the other aspect of this is I'm kind of a gun guy. You guys both know that. I like my toys and things like that, and I imagine a lot of people
guns
like
aren't
myself.
Toys, kids. Guns aren't toys.
Yes, that's right. The police may attract some gun guys, too.
Sure.
And it's got to be awfully frustrating if you have all these really cool toys, but you never get a chance to break them out and use them.
Mm.
I can see that.
Well, I mean, they can use them anytime they want on the practicing range.
They can go to the range.
But
they
it's not the same as taking a life from somebody if that's what you're really into.
Right, and knocking down doors, you know, busting heads. I mean, that's
well,
the
whole
thing.
Well, there's an adrenaline factor, and a lot of cops are addicts. You know, they just, they're addicted to different things. They're addicted to adrenaline. They're addicted, in some cases, to alcohol, in some cases, to abusive sex. So cops have their vices. And it reminds me of Barry Cooper, who some of you might remember. He was a guest on Free Talk Live, living down in Mexico now. But Barry is an interesting character because he was a narcotics officer.
Oh, yeah.
Down in Texas, actually. He was the narcotics cop of the year down in Texas at some point in the past when he was younger. And we had him on our show years ago, probably like a decade ago now. And he told us about how when he first became an officer, he would get an adrenaline rush off of just pulling somebody over, just for like speeding or whatever, some sort of non-risky thing. Just the fact that pulling somebody over was an adrenaline boost for him. Eventually that dissipated, right, to where when he'd pull somebody over, there wasn't an adrenaline rush. Right. It was just normal. He was used to it. So he had to start upping the ante. He had to start escalating the situation to increase, sometimes artificially, but increase the danger to him or the potential danger to him.
It's so the same thrill.
So, yeah, because he wanted to get that adrenaline rush again. And so he gave the example of how if he were investigating somebody for, let's say, cocaine, maybe he found some cocaine or whatever in somebody's car or whatever, he would leave the person unhandcuffed and just tell them to sit down on the side of the road, like, you know, sit on the curb while I go and search your car. So the idea was give him a chance to run.
Right.
That way he would have the excuse to run after him, tackle him, beat him, and get that rush. So he had to keep upping the ante.
Yeah.
Just
and
like a junkie.
Yeah, and that's how addictions work.
Yep.
And, you know, one thing that we really should not have on police forces, on SWAT teams, is people that have those particular afflictions, and that's what
But that's
it
what's going to attract. They're going to attract those people.
Of course.
So how are you going to avoid that?
First of all, you need to start disarming the police.
Or if you're going to, because like the proposal to disarm the police probably isn't going anywhere anytime soon, even with all the terrible stories about how awful they are. So here's a middle point, a compromise, you know, because politics is all about compromise. How about the police don't do no-knock raids anymore? How about they never do a drug raid ever again?
Oh, I
and you
like
can
that.
Reserve the actual no-knock raids for, oh, I don't know, trying to catch some murderer or something like that. How about that?
Kidnapper, maybe?
Yeah, kidnapper.
Sure. How about somebody who robs a bank? You know, they've taken millions of dollars that doesn't belong to them.
You know, it's not going to...
Maybe.
People aren't going to be as upset. I mean, presuming they have the right suspect, and of course, you know, they're going to screw that up sometimes, but presuming they have the right suspect and the person they're actually raiding is a violent criminal who's harmed innocent people, nobody's going to get their hair bent out of place because a cop roughs up a wanted murderer.
Right.
It's just not going to be as controversial.
Right. But if we continue this path, you know, what we're going to have is more people dying. And meanwhile, the police are sitting here going, why are you always painting us out to be the bad guys? Well, you just shot and killed two people in their home.
Plus the dog. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Because people care more about the dog, you know.
As it turned out, breaking into the house without warning and opening fire with a shotgun were not a safer approach. Precipitated a shootout during which at least five officers were injured, four by gunfire, and two suspects were killed.
Wow.
Based on the official description of the raid, which was not recorded, it is entirely possible that Tuttle did not realize the armed men invading his home were police officers. It's hard to imagine that things would have turned out worse if police had taken the, quote, dangerous approach of announcing themselves. This disastrous search supposedly was the culmination of a two-week investigation triggered by a neighbor's tip. During that time, police apparently did not manage to document suspicious activity at the house or even identify the owners who had lived there for two decades.
Wow.
Yet the
That's some real detective work.
Right. Yet the officer who sought the warrant confidently informed his CI that, quote, narcotics were being sold and stored, quote, unquote, in the house. How did he know that? Exactly. And that's what we're trying to figure out here. That's what Reason's trying to figure out. 855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live.
Smart Cash is a peer-to-peer digital currency that is fast, secure, and easy to use. Smart Cash also features smart rewards, a price stabilization mechanism, and a way to encourage long-term holding. Long-term holders are key to the project's success. You can earn smart rewards on any address for which you hold the private keys, which holds at least 1,000 smart for 1 month and does not make any outgoing transactions during that time. Smart rewards are distributed every 47,500 blocks to all eligible addresses. Learn more at smartcash.cc.
Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live. Coming at you live like we do every night of the year, 365 days a year. We are here to take your calls and hear what you have to say. You don't like the topic we're talking about? Change it. That's all you have to do. Bring up what you want to talk about, and we'll talk about that. Joining you tonight is myself, Chris.
Rich Paul.
And Ian.
And I also wanted to tell you a little bit about something that liberty-minded individuals have talked about for an awfully long time, and that is a database of liberty-minded businesses, liberty.menu. Liberty.menu is a tool for your community. At its core is a directory of events, businesses, digital content, and more. Listings can be rated and reviewed, and there's a bit of a social networking aspect so you could connect and share with others. Use of Liberty.menu is exclusively for individuals who reject the initiation of force and for those who agree to the ethics of the non-aggression principle. Put your voluntary ideas into action at liberty.menu and use the code FTL to get a special badge. That's liberty.menu. And I'm happy to say I've got a couple businesses on there and a couple organizations and things like that. It's a great way to meet people that support the same things that we support. And what we support is nonviolence and the idea.
Non-aggression. Because you can use violence in defense as a libertarian.
This is true. Mm-hmm. And I think it's safe to say that we trust our neighbors more with a little bit of extra freedom than we trust politicians with a little bit more power.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we're going to switch gears up a little bit here. But, you know, when it's cold like this, you know,
I heard it's cold down south, too.
It is.
It's cold in Florida.
It's been really cold here. We've got a polar vortex. Mm-hmm. We should just talk for 3 hours about that because
that's covered it last night.
Well, then we need to cover it for at least two or three more days so we can catch up with the networks. Because
they just talk wall to wall
talking about the polar vortex.
Really,
it's interesting because the concept of a polar vortex has been in meteorology for 50-100 years.
But they just called it the polar vortex back in 2014 for the first time.
Yeah, yeah. And that makes it new and exciting,
right?
But I think about the cold. I think about people going to school, you know, trudging between classes and things like that. Like those kids up at Farmington University, which is in
Farmington University? Is that New Mexico?
No. Actually, it's the University of Farmington, and it's in Michigan, except when it's not.
Uh-huh.
ICE set up a completely fake university to lure in people that were here on student visas. And this comes to us from the Chicago Tribune. On its website, the University of Farmington advertised an innovative STEM curriculum that would prepare students to compete in the global economy, flexible class schedules that would allow them to enroll without disrupting their careers. The Michigan-based school touted the number of languages spoken by its president. That's four, by the way. And the number of classes taught by teaching assistants, zero. Photos of the campus showed students lounging around with books on a grassy quad or engaged in rap conversation at its brightly lit modern library. Tuition was also relatively reasonable, $8,500 a year for undergrads and $11,000 a year for graduate students. Kind of a bargain these days, right?
Yes, I don't know. I don't price colleges out because I think the whole thing's a scam.
Well, this one you might like. Located in the heart, and this is a quote from their site, Located in the heart of the automotive and advanced manufacturing centers of Southeast Michigan, the University of Farmington provides school students from throughout the world a unique educational experience, unquote, the site informed prospective applicants. But there were no classes taking place at the university, which employs no instructors or professors. In court filings that were unsealed Wednesday, federal prosecutors revealed that the school's employees were actually undercover agents working for U.S. Immigrations and Customs Enforcement.
Okay.
The fake university had been set up in 2015 as part of an elaborate sting operation aimed at ensnaring foreign nationals who had initially come to the United States on student visas. Its, quote, campus, unquote, consisted of a small office in a corporate park in the northwestern Detroit suburb of Farmington Halls, Michigan, with no quad or library in sight. The phony university was, quote, being used by foreign citizens as a, quote, pay-to-play scheme, prosecutors allege. After forking over thousands of dollars, students would provide immigration authorities with evidence that they were enrolled in a full-time educational program. They could then continue to live and work in the United States under a student visa. But since the University of Farmington didn't actually exist, they didn't have the hassle of writing papers, taking tests, or showing up for class. So what do you think? Is this where we've come? We want to take people's money, promise them an education, just so we can turn around and arrest them.
I guess I want to know more about this because, yes, I heard about the headlines. I had not heard all the details. Did anybody ever sign up for this school and actually try to show up? Or was absolutely 100% of the people who signed up for this school, were they all kind of recruited somehow by somebody who told them, hey, look, this is a fake school. It's not a real deal, but it'll get you your visa or whatever.
All you got to do is tell them you're going to school and you're good.
Yeah, I guess I don't understand enough about exactly how did they prospect these young people, presumably, who signed up for this. How did they...
I had a very fancy web page, Ian.
Yeah, but there's a bunch of universities out there. So what did they do? How did they advertise this to draw these people in?
We'll cover a little bit more here. Yeah. Students knew that the scheme was, quote, illegal and that, quote, discretion should be used in discussing the program with others, unquote, prosecutors wrote in their indictment, which was filed January 15th in the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Michigan. According to the Detroit News, which first reported on the undercover operation, dozens of University of Farmington students were arrested on immigration violations on Wednesday as part of a massive national sweep and are now potentially facing deportation.
Huh.
In addition, eight people who allegedly worked as, quote, recruiters for the school and collectively helped at least 600 students to remain in the country under false pretenses now face federal conspiracy charges. So evidently they're busting even their own recruiters who found this and said, hey, here you can go do this. But first, I do want to go...
This is a huge operation. I mean, this is a crazy-sounding operation. So they had people recruiting folks to go to this school.
Right.
But the recruiters weren't in on knowing that it was undercover work by the police. So they were sort of assisting these people in committing the crime. So therefore, they themselves were committing a crime, right?
Yes.
By enticing somebody to commit a crime. Conspiracy, basically.
Right.
In that case. Mm-hmm. How did they find the recruiters is what I want to know.
Well, I get the impression that the recruiters were already doing this for other schools. It's
maybe.
Just possible. This school happened to be fake.
Mm-hmm.
So
and affordable.
And by the way, I think I found their website, universityoffarmington.edu. Site's down, of course, at this point, but
right.
You can go into the Wayback Machine on archive.org and actually pull it up and see what it looked like.
Unbelievable. Ice could not
it's
be
the crappiest worried. Looking... Here, look at this thing, Rich. I mean, you're somebody who's been around the internet for a while. Look at that title bar. Like, they definitely didn't have anybody who... This looks
oh,
like it was
wow.
made in MS Paint.
Oh, my god!
I mean, it's just...
You would think a government thing could at least spend a little bit of cash, but they probably had a small budget. ICE could
not
be
reached for
comment.
If they want to make it look like a front school that has no money behind it, they got the right graphic artist.
There you go. ICE could not be reached for comment late Wednesday night. It's unclear how many past or present students could be facing deportation as the result of the sting. So let me ask you this. I mean, is this where we want our money to go? We want to have governments set up fake universities to lure people in by promising them a way that they could actually stay in this country. It's insane. It is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450. This is Free Talk Live. We're here. We're waiting to hear from you. We want to hear what's on your mind. We want to hear your thoughts. We want you to tell us what you think about the Department of Homeland Security running fake colleges.
Lying.
Well, you could say that, yeah. but I went to school, and a lot of the things I was told were lies, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Were they really doing anything that our education system doesn't do right now? My name's Chris. In studio, we have
Rich Paul.
And I'm Ian.
And we've been discussing this story from the Chicago Tribune, talking about ICE setting up a fake university, promising fake degrees with fake instructors. The only thing that weren't fake were the tuition bills that they sent to their students, because you had to pay if you wanted to take part in this or work through one of their recruiters. But before we do that, I want to talk to Gilbert from Texas. He's calling us he's listening to us on the TuneIn app. Gilbert, are you there? You're on Free Talk Live.
Yes, you guys said we can talk about any subject, right?
Anything within FCC bounds, so you can't put our radio stations in jeopardy.
I see. Okay. I see. It's not out of FCC. I wanted to talk about, because we've been debating, me and my political friends that can't snap out of their political mind, the political party mind, I don't like what's going on in Venezuela. And what I wanted to say is that I'm first and foremost, I'm against socialism. I don't like socialism. I think it's deplorable.
Me too.
But what they're trying to replace it with is not something. It's not a free market economy. They're trying to replace it with big banker, international bankers that create money out of nothing. Mm-hmm. Big imperialism. Mm-hmm. That is not a free market economy.
In Venezuela, for listeners that aren't familiar, the current president there, Maduro, who is now claiming he's in his second term, is being challenged by the opposition, a guy named Juan Guaido, I believe, who is claiming he's the president, and he says he's got the National Assembly behind him, while Maduro has the Supreme Court behind him. That's the conflict here. The thing that you may not be aware of is that Guaido is also a socialist. So, I mean, you're just talking about replacing one flavor of socialist with another socialist, one that's probably more, in the pockets of the international bankers.
Yeah, and we've talked about...
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, and
go ahead.
Ian and I were discussing this, I guess it was on Saturday night show, mm-hmm. talking a little bit about that, and I sided with a caller who said that, you know, even though this is all transpiring down in Venezuela, and there is no doubt that socialism has crushed that country... I personally can't help but believe that the U.S. sees opportunities where things are going awry. And it would not surprise me if you've had some people either enticing like Guaido to run, you know, maybe we'll back you, things like that. This would not by any stretch be the first time that the U.S. has meddled in other countries' elections mm-hmm. or meddled in the economies of other countries.
Well, actually, here's what's going on. What's going on is that they're putting sanctions on Maduro, which, like I said, I don't support his socialism. But I would prefer, when you give me a choice between bad and worse, I'm always going to choose bad. There's no other choice. And what's going on here is that that they're putting sanctions on him, and then the people that are putting sanctions on him and not letting him have access to the millions, if not billions, of dollars of money that he has in businesses here, Venezuela has in businesses here in the U.S. and other places, then they're strangling the economy. And these people that are strangling the economy are going to be rewarded for their bad behavior by blaming this, blaming it all on Maduro. Now, remember, these bankers are the same ones that support China, and we know China is communist. They have no problem with China supporting communism, which is socialism times a thousand. But because China lets them do a lot of what they want, then they're fine with that. What they really want is they want to take over Venezuela. Venezuela's economy, so only the sellouts can make money, and they want to counter capitalism, but it isn't capitalism. It's a total corruption, and it's like the Federal Reserve, how it's taking over our country here, and they're setting up a system where you can't even criticize them. If you criticize them, they corner you. They call you a conspiracy theorist or whatever. And, you know, one of the things I tell my Republican friends is I tell them, look, I'm no socialist, but what's going on over there is if the Federal Reserve were to raise the interest rate to 10% and destroy the economy, and then everybody would be calling for Trump's head, and everybody would be wanting him out. Would you like that? They would be blaming him when it was the big banker's fault for the economy, and that's exactly what's going on in Venezuela. I don't support socialism. I wish somebody with a free market plan would go in there that's fair and free and people could get rich competing for the
resources.
That
would be nice.
But this is not what we have here.
So there was something that you said. Was it Gilbert? Is that right?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Gilbert. Yeah. So, I mean, you blame the sanctions for destroying their economy, and the sanctions are not good. I mean, there's no doubt that they are harmful to an economy and they're harmful to business because people, even in oppressive regimes, should be free to trade with people in the United States. So I think sanctions are definitely not good, but the reason why the economy is in the toilet has a lot more to do with you know, what Maduro's policies have been of inflating the money supply and putting on price controls and taking over by force, taking over and nationalizing industries. These are some of the main reasons why things are bad in Venezuela. It's not just sanctions.
I don't disagree with that, and Maduro pretty much followed the playbook. I mean,
the socialist playbook.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Just check, 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 check. And then you get to this spot where people die and countries fall apart. Gilbert, any final thoughts?
Yeah, well, what I say is let's replace it with a free market economy. Let's not replace something that's horrible. And I agree with you. Let's not replace something that's horrible with something that's a thousand times worse. We're going to give Venezuela and trust them into this type of Federal Reserve International Banker world system. We have Bolton, we have Abrams, all the players that have been murdering Latin America for the last during the 80s, at least when Reagan was there. They've been murdering Latin America and giving it to the big bankers. All their riches, these are rich countries, are going to the big bankers, and the people are poor. Look at that. Just one last thing. A quote from Evo Morales. Evo Morales, I don't agree also with everything he says, but he said that when he took over, that when he took power, the multinational corporations were taking 82% of our essential resources. And us, we only had 18%. Today, it's opposite. When he took over, he said, I did what I had to do for my people. Now I'm just waiting to be killed like they did Chavez. He believes that they killed Chavez too.
And who was Morales? I'm not familiar with that character. Who was that?
Evo Morales is the president of Bolivia.
Oh, okay.
And I don't agree with all of his policies, but nevertheless, he took away the natural resources from the big international players,
right,
and he gave it back to the people. And I don't agree with everything they do, but at least, you know, if you're going to choose between bad and worse, choose bad, because they're not giving you good.
It's hard to imagine things being much worse than they currently are, but I suppose they could get worse. And it is true that, and thank you for the call tonight. Definitely appreciate hearing from you.
Appreciate it. Yes,
thanks for bringing that up. Mm-hmm. You know, when it comes to what's going on there in Venezuela, it's bad. I mean, it's really bad right now. They can't even get basic food items there.
Or medicines. And it's a tragedy. 855-450-FREE.
Your kid gets sick, they're probably going to die.
And that is a tragedy. More coming to you soon. Free Talk Live.
The biggest names in the Liberty Movement will be at the largest gathering of freethinkers, voluntarists, libertarians, and ANCAPs in Acapulco, Mexico from February 14th to 19th, 2019 at Anarchapulco. You'll love the lineup of speakers discussing entrepreneurship, investments, politics, philosophy, health, sustainability, lifestyles, and personal relationships for 4 days among the sun and beaches of a world-class resort. Go to Anarchapulco.com and use code FTL to register and receive 15% off. Anarchapulco.com, code FTL.
This is Free Talk Live, and we've been kind of all over the board tonight, boys. Just that's basically how every show goes. We started off talking about a Reason.com article about the Texas raid, which tragically left two innocent people dead and a number of police officers shot. We had a call from New York who wanted to discuss the 2020 election, and we talked about that. We talked about the feds running a fake university. Fake you.
Yeah.
I guess it's the University of Farmington. So if you're an employer and somebody comes to you with a University of Farmington CV, you may want to question that. And we just got off the phone with Gilbert, who wanted to talk a little bit about Venezuela. And this is how it goes every night, folks. If this is your first time listening, realize that this will not be the standard 3x5 card TV radio show you're used to listening to. We don't really try to spin anything. What we do look for is,
I'll spin it to freedom, whatever it is.
Thank
whatever
you,
the issue.
Ian. And that's if there every is a spin to this, that's exactly what we do. We talk about liberty and we talk about freedom.
And in some cases, like in Venezuela, there's no real liberty choice. I mean, when the gentleman was on the line, he's like, "Well, why don't we try a free market?" Yeah, I mean, wouldn't we all love that? I mean,
who's going to argue against that?
Well, a lot of people would argue against that, but no one on this show.
Right. The thing is, it's not our job to try that. It's Venezuela's job.
Yeah, and that's not even on the table. Nobody is talking about that. We're talking about one socialist president and another socialist that wants to overthrow him. That's what we have.
Right. Mm. But it will probably be a slightly different flavor of socialism, which inevitably leads back to the same place because socialism ends up at the same place.
It does.
And that usually involves eating the animals out of your own zoo to survive.
Yeah.
And that's where Venezuela has gone. And I wanted to give a little shout out here. We've been thanking our amplifiers, the AMP program, our people that are so enamored by the ideas of liberty that they wish to contribute to the show so we can continue to do what we do. And tonight, I would like to thank Jason Howcroft. He's a silver amplifier.
Long time.
Yeah. Nice.
We've started over on the thanking list here of the amplifiers. So we've been through the list one time now. And so we start from the longest running amps and we go all the way down to the current, the ones that just signed up. So we're once again at that long end right now. So thank you, Jason.
Yep. Thank you, Jason. And we are going
to. And by the way, you can amp by going to amp.freetalklive.com. That's how you can help support us for $5 a month. And what was his rank on AMP Gold?
He
silver?
Is a silver.
Silver. So he's doing $5 a month.
Yeah.
And really appreciate that. And you get some cool perks, some bennies, some bonuses that are just for amplifiers over at amp.freetalklive.com.
All good stuff. And like I said, all the money that's raised by the AMP program goes to advertise, market, and promote Free Talk Live and the ideas of liberty. But we're going to hop back to the phones, and we are going to talk to Sarah, who wishes to discuss banning sugary drinks.
Oh boy.
Because I know.
Get ready, Rich Paul.
I know this.
He's got a Diet Coke with him tonight.
Diet? Can you go out there and get a real soda or something like that? Don't worry, Rich.
You can go get your own. I think there's some Coke in the fridge, bro.
There we go. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
So I heard today that there's a group that wants to banned advertisement for the sugary drinks right here in the United States.
They sound like a fun bunch.
They do. Okay.
Well, you know what? I have no idea. It was so fast that I wonder what state it was, and I wonder who's doing it, and then exactly what commercials. But I just heard just a short radio news clip.
So, the long and the short of it is, Sarah, is you would absolutely support a ban on sugary drinks, would you not?
Well, I mean, for me, yes. I mean, if I could have it my way, we were never meant to. You could add your own sugar, make your own. I mean, I would like to have, like, no, not all together. I mean, people, some sugary drinks is okay, but I do not like the advertisement, you know, all of this pushing and shoving.
So we
everywhere you, yeah, pushing and shoving their sugary drinks on people.
Well, isn't that sort of the point of advertising? I mean, you watch lots of ads for lots of things, and some of those things are probably things you like. Like, I mean, you really can't take your eyes away from, like, the poor dog and shivering in the cold and in the backyard, and we hear the, God, I don't even know what singers are like Celine Dion song playing in the background, making me feel sorry for this dog, so I send them money. That's advertising. You support that kind of advertising?
The thing about it is that...
So you can ask Sarah a question, but she will never answer it.
I know, but I want to keep trying.
Okay, the advertisement is fine. But we know that this product has caused diabetes in children. It has caused obesity. It has caused health problems year after year.
Drinking.
Well, that's true, but...
Drinking those products caused those things. But those products on their own don't do anything. They sit there until somebody puts it in their body.
Well, what about the side effects of government, though? I mean, there's a lot of people being shot by cops. There are people imprisoned for not paying their taxes. These are all bad side effects of government. So shouldn't we ban government first?
But the government, we just have to accept, do they advertise? Do they advertise government?
Oh, yeah, there are politicians all over the airwaves, and every word they say is a lie.
Well, see,
so that doesn't seem very good.
Sarah wants the SWAT teams to kick in the doors of a radio station that would accept a sugary drink ad. She wants the SWAT teams to kick in the doors of the companies that would want to purchase a sugary drink ad. That's what you want to do, right? Sarah, you want to have men with guns use violence against people who want to advertise their delicious concoctions.
Would you agree with that?
I don't know, but I just thought penalties and fines would be okay. You know,
but if you don't pay the penalties and fines, then what happens?
Yeah, what's the next step? Let's say Reitman Soda, and now I got fined by whatever government agency is in charge of bubbly drinks, and I refuse to stop advertising, and I keep advertising. What's the next step?
Well, I mean, I guess they would have to go in and issue citations like they do for cigarette bans.
Yep, and I don't pay those either. I just ignore them. Every time you give me one of those, I'm going to wad it up in my previously nicotine-stained fingers and throw it in the garbage. Every time you do that, every single time, time after time.
So then you might have to go to jail.
So I'd have to go to jail. So you're willing to lock me up because of my soft drink ad.
Now, Chris, are you
but
just going
to... what if Chris doesn't show up and go to jail? What if Chris says, no, I'm not going to be your slave?
What if I just say, no, I'm not going to jail?
Well, you know what? It's not just for that particular thing. It's for all, like, they do it for speeding tickets and red light camera tickets. They'll take you to jail for those.
Right.
Tear them up.
Okay, so that's another rights violation. Does it make it, if you violate more rights, is that better than violating fewer rights?
But you know what? All of these things have a root cause. It's because it hurts people. It hurts the health, and that's the reason behind it. You guys make it sound like people just get arrested for no reason. I mean, that's according to you.
There is a reason. There are people out there who get off on pushing other people around. It sounds like you're actually one of these people. And because there are people who get off on pushing people around, and a lot of people don't like to be pushed around, there's eventually violence because you have to force your will on unwilling others. And until you get over your assumption, your your obsession with controlling the lives of others, there's going to be a lot of violence because people don't want their lives controlled.
Bravo.
We don't. Sarah, thank you for the call. And
I need to go get a sugary drink after that.
I know. And I don't even drink them, but I want something bubbly.
I'm ready to drink a regular Coke myself.
855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3773. And again, we've been all over the board.
3733, I think.
Did I get that wrong?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Well, just spell it out because that's always confusing to do while you're trying to remember a phone number. It is 855-450-3773.
No, I thought it was 3733.
God, I'm looking at your notes.
It has to
and
be.
And you're absolutely right.
Both of the last letters are
E. Yeah.
Unbelievable. I'm just going to start making up random numbers and we'll see if any of them happen to get through.
Well, if the worst that you've done is messed up the phone number, you're doing pretty good for your second night.
No, give me time. I'm sure I can screw this up even more. But we've been,
it's all right. We don't need the calls anyway,
but the
it's
calls,
just Sarah.
The calls, it's the best part.
Sarah already knows our number. She's not listening.
I know
she's
that.
Got it written down somewhere.
And, and Ian's going to tell us a little bit about a story that has to do with soda. Therefore, once again, confirming that all news begins with Sarah, and it's taken us years to figure this out, but she is really, what drives this show. Evidently,
our program director.
She is our program director.
I do have soda-related news since she brought it up, so we can get into that here in a bit.
You do, but I also have somebody who's been holding for quite a while, and this is Anonymous from Michigan. He is listening on Twitch.
All right.
Anonymous, are you there?
I am here. I'm listening on a bit more on Twitch. I got a few different things to say to you guys, if you like.
Okay.
I took a couple shots. Loosen myself up to, like, you know, I never really call on these things too much. So, but I mean, I can comment on just about everything that I've heard so far since I tuned in.
All right, well, pick maybe one or two things because we don't have all night. But make sure you don't say anything that the FCC won't allow. Otherwise, we have to hit the dump machine, and then we'll be very sad.
I have absolutely no idea about the rules and regulations of the FCC, but I don't think any of my comments will actually trigger anything like that.
Okay, great.
So I think we're good.
Go ahead.
All right. Your last caller, that terrified me to no end. I think that is a completely mistaken mindset, and I don't want to be insulting in any way or anything like that. However, I mean, like, what I would like to say is imagine sitting in your house and doing something that you want to do on your own time because something that you've worked for with a product, you know, that you want,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden your door is broken down, and you're taken away because of what you're doing. Now, I don't understand how that isn't a completely terrifying situation.
Now, wait, are we talking about heroin or sugary drinks? The
sugary
thing that you're doing.
Yep.
Because I think you should be able to do whatever it is you want in your own house.
Because in my opinion, I think that I don't think it's an issue of substance. I believe it's an issue of knowledge. And I believe it comes down to not respect. It's the word
liberty.
I can't think of the word right now. It's like you do something or you want to do it. You do it or you don't do it because
self-determination,
free will,
responsibility,
autonomy.
No, responsibility, knowledge, and responsibility.
Okay.
I believe that everything comes down to knowledge and responsibility because to be knowledgeable and to have a well-educated people who are knowledgeable, right, and who know the causes and effects and the science behind ish like substances per se, when you're growing up, like, I mean, I sort of grew up in that kind of environment, and I've never gotten into that aspect because I've seen how it affected others,
and
that's something that sort of imprinted on me. So that became knowledgeable for me, and I noticed like all the issues that it caused.
Right. But you do respect that those are choices that individuals make. You know, some people make good choices and some people don't.
Look, man, if somebody wants to do something on their own time and put something inside their bodies that makes their life a little bit better for that time, you know, perhaps they're the most miserable person on the planet and they want to do something to make themselves feel better, who's somebody else to say they can't do it?
I could not.
Yeah,
agree with you.
And as you pointed out, a lot of times those people will go overboard. They will use whatever the substance is that they're into way too much. It will take hold of their life, and it will make their life a living hell. And that is an example to the rest of us. It's, you know, you can look to those people and say, oh, yeah, I don't want to live like that. So right. It's a good thing those people are out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts?
That's exactly why my first comment was saying, I believe it relies on falls down to the responsibility of the user. And
it should. And there's enough of a punishment there for the user, right? Like, so, exactly. You know, they don't need to layer on jail and a criminal record on top of the already natural punishment of exhausting your, you know, exhausting your body. By using these drugs and just, you know, wasting yourself away. That's its own punishment.
Yeah.
Right. You're hey, man.
Why go out of your way to punish those who are already doing a fine job of punishing themselves?
Right.
Exactly. Any final thoughts, Anon? Go ahead.
I got a bunch of thoughts if you want to hear something. Like, yeah, exactly, though. Like, exactly what you said, man. Like, hey, man, like, imagine this. Imagine living in, like, a cardboard box. Like, literally living in a cardboard box and, like, going to that. And then, you know, your life is crap. Your brain's already goofed up as it is. You know, you're just like, oh, you just want to feel good or something. Oh, no. Time for a bunch of thugs to come grab you, throw right. you in a box.
Have a cold cage instead of the cardboard box.
Exactly, and stick to drugs you can handle. Anon, thank you so much for your call, man. Take care.
It was a good call. And if you got more to say, call any other night because we're here 7 nights a week. And I love people with a lot to say. I appreciate that.
I do, too. And that was one caller. I could tell he had a lot to talk about.
Yeah, and thank you for being a good Twitch caller because, my God, it is a wasteland on Twitch.
We see that cop up, and it's just sort of like, okay, now exactly how do I dump a call?
Yeah, we're hovering over the – every time it's a Twitch call, we're always hovering over the dump button just because 90% of them are just trash.
Indeed. And sometimes we have that problem with Discord callers, but
a lot of the Discord callers are listening on Twitch, I think.
Maybe.
Because Discord is a gaming chat platform, and so it sounds like we have Gene on the line already.
Just getting him ready for you.
I'm sorry, man.
The two people do bounce back and forth. Gene, you're on FTL. What's up?
Oh, hi. Well, I'm not at all like Sarah. I'm just the opposite of Sarah. So she wants more government. I don't want any government.
Yeah, right.
I wanted to talk about lies. And this is something that your government, your friendly neighborhood government specializes in.
Mm-hmm.
They lie a lot. And it's amazing to me that people put up with it when they see it every day. I mean, everybody sees how much they lie. Every time that they make any kind of a statement, we find out 2, 3 months or even 20 years later that it was all a bunch of baloney.
And
I just don't understand how people are so stupid that they don't see this.
Oh, but the next guy, he's telling the truth. He wants change.
Well, that was a Democrat, Gene. That was the problem. It was a Democrat telling all those lies. Now that we have a good, honest, God-fearing Republican like we do now.
Yeah.
No more issues, right?
And I've pointed out to many Trump supporters how many lies Trump has told us. Mm. But they, you know, just because they hated Hillary, which, you know, I hate Hillary just as much. You know, Hillary is she was a monster and she still is. And, you know, I keep wondering how much longer she's going to stay alive. But some of these evil people just seem to live to be like 100 years old all the time. I don't understand.
Yeah, it's sick.
Yeah, what is with that? I just have to share this one, Gene, because I think you'll appreciate it. Today on Twitter, Trump announced that the Dow Jones has crossed 25,000 for the first time, which is big news.
Okay.
The problem is this was at least the third or fourth time that he has announced that the Dow Jones has exceeded 25,000.
For the first time.
And somebody had actually gone through
Trump
his feed. And gone
Trump
back like 3 years.
Trump supporters won't catch
ago.
That. They won't even realize that. It'll just go right over their heads. Well, just like when he said
it's fake news.
Hillary's going to be in jail, and just like he, you know, all these other promises he made, and none of them are coming true. Hillary's not going to jail, and we all know that nobody that's ever been in government ever goes to jail.
Apparently, within just the last year, it's been close to 26,000. They're actually over 26,000, so it's not even 25,000 isn't even a record.
And I was trying to remember, Ian, maybe you or Rich will remember the name of the organization that was sponsoring the caravan up here, something Peace.
Ooh, I don't know. I'd have to look it up.
The long and the short of it was in response to one of Trump's, you know, we've stopped every caravan that's come through, the president of that organization, and we'll find that for you, those of you who are listening. But he was basically coming back saying, no, they didn't stop every one of the caravans. We've loaded up Catholic charities. When we bring people here, we get in touch with Catholic Charities, who finds them a bed and puts them on a legal path to stay in here because they can't be just denied.
Do you operate a retail business and are looking for a solution for point-of-sale cryptocurrency acceptance? It's never been easier thanks to AnyPay.global. There's no paperwork or approval process to open an account. If you already have a tablet at your cash register, you're almost done. Just sign up at AnyPay.global. Drop your personal crypto wallet addresses in our setup page and then load our app. That's it. You're accepting cryptocurrency like Bitcoin and Dash at your store. Get started now at AnyPay.global. That's AnyPay.global.
This is Free Talk Live, and we're here to take your calls. We want to know what's on your mind. We want to talk about stuff we want to talk about. We are people. We are human beings. That's what we like to do. We like to hear the sound of our own voices sometimes, but sometimes it's better to listen to other people. Sometimes it's better to hear what other people have to say.
Well, that's the reason why I made the show Free Talk Live instead of the Ian and Mark show, because I rather would hear from other people. Honestly, I don't want to sit here and talk to myself.
I know, and I already know what I think.
Exactly.
I think that there may be somebody out there who might offer me a better perspective on something. And that's yet another story we may touch on, something going on Reddit. Which involves basically a subreddit where the idea is, tell me I'm wrong. Explain to me how I'm wrong.
And is this like the guy sitting behind the table in that meme?
That kind of thing? My mind. Sort of the inspiration behind that.
Is this more like explain like I'm five? Because I follow that Reddit sometimes.
Well, we might get into that story. But first, I want to go to Tom in Maine, who is listening to us on WLOB. And he wants to talk about drugs and whether they should be legal. Tom, you're on Free Talk Live.
How's it going, guys?
Welcome.
So I just wanted to touch on the point that the gentleman earlier had made when you were talking about legalization. And I really just kind of was thinking that the thing that bothers me really about the drug laws that we have right now is that if you do a drug, whatever drug it is, and then you go commit a crime, there's already a law on the books for a punishment that would fit that crime. So if you do heroin and you murder somebody or you rob a bank or you crash a car,
right,
you should be penalized for that action. But is it fair that you're also penalized because of your state of mind? Because your state of mind isn't what is considered normal.
So you're saying that you get a harsher sentence because you happen to be on drugs at the time.
Right, which I don't think is necessarily fair, because you can be sober and commit the exact same crime and receive a lower punishment, a lesser punishment.
Well, then let me bounce this off of you.
It's just a thought I had.
Hold on. Is it actually true that you get a harsher charge in some places if you're on drugs while you get into a car accident?
I don't know. I've never heard of this.
I don't know if it's a direct correlation, but the fact that you can be criminally charged for possession of whatever substance, I mean, that can be an additional charge, I guess.
Yeah, it's an additional charge, sure, if you actually still have it. If it's in your system, There's not usually an internal possession charge for adults in most places that I'm aware of. I know they do have so-called internal possession for young people. Like in some places, if you're 20 years old and you're drunk, they can charge you with internal possession.
So what's the difference when you get busted by a cop? You're sitting in your car without the motor running, but you get a DUI, for example.
And I guess I feel like people are being so intelligent people who don't commit crimes. Somebody who smokes marijuana, uses a hard drug, and is perfectly responsible with it, is equally in danger of facing judgment as somebody who might be foolish with it. And I get why they do that, but I just don't think it's fair to the vast majority of all. I think it's more controlling than it needs to be.
I would agree with that, and a lot of times it's simply about stacking the charges, and that's a practice that prosecutors love to do. I'm more than likely going to get a confession out of you or get you to agree to a plea deal if I hit you with 10 different charges as opposed to if I just hit the one where you were actually likely guilty. You know what I mean?
Sure, and that ties right into the war on drugs, like way back to Nixon as well. Like that was part of the idea of that agenda.
Oh, absolutely. Nixon wanted to eliminate political enemies, and he came up with a rather clever way to do it, seeing how we're still paying for it 50 years later. That's all it was ever about, and it's a shame and it's disgusting. Yeah, any final thoughts?
That was actually...
Oh, go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, so that was one point, and then I had just an open-ended question for you guys. I'm genuinely curious about the libertarian viewpoint, and when you were talking to Sarah earlier about, using police to achieve, agendas, whatever they may be, in the libertarian ideal, which I know is, somewhat of a far-fetched notion that everybody would be on board with that. But if that was the situation, what would the role of the police be, or what would the police look like in that kind of a society?
That's a good question.
Yeah. A lot of people will use the phrase, and this has been bandied around for a long time, or the night watchman, the police that are actually just there to investigate crimes and to sort of be there when things go wrong, as opposed to a proactive police force that's out there looking for criminal activity or what they perceive as criminal activity, because there happens to be a law against
it. So often they're not actually looking for criminal things that the libertarians would consider criminal. They're out looking
for what they consider criminal.
What they consider criminal, right.
By the way, we now have Michael Hampton with us on our third microphone.
If you're wondering,
Rich Paul
what
has morphed into Michael Hampton.
What happened to Rich Paul's voice?
Yeah,
it is.
I want to add this in here, though, because in a truly free society, we probably wouldn't have a government one size fits all police force. Maybe there are people out there, Chris, who want to have an active patrol going around looking for suspicious people, like, let's say, in their neighborhood, somebody lurking about or prowling or whatever, breaking into a home or something, trying to actively, be there in a place that would essentially, in a sort of a rotating factor, that would maybe lessen the chances that somebody would want to commit a crime if they knew that there were police that were actively roaming rather than just waiting for a call to come in. And so those people would be able to hire the kind of service level that they want. Maybe some people just don't, maybe they only want the cops to swing by once a night. Maybe somebody else wants them to swing by every 10 minutes. Maybe they want 24-hour protection with an armed guard out front, or maybe they just want to be trained on how to use a firearm and then left alone. So I think there's a whole range of what it is that people want for protection services. And if we actually had a free marketplace, then protection services, which is what the police are supposed to provide, but of course have no obligation to provide according to the Supreme Court.
Well, it's not us that they're protecting.
Right.
Well, right. I mean, they might protect you, but they don't have an obligation to do it. And that's what the Supreme Court has said more than, probably a half a dozen times in the last couple decades. So the answer should be that everybody should be able to get the level of protection services they're willing to pay for.
Either by yourself or in concert with your neighbors.
Right. And
sure. And I guess that would be my last follow-up question on that is, if that is the case, it seems kind of like a free market police force a little bit. And so my question would be, when they do make an arrest that's, perfectly legitimate, on whose authority is that made? Is it just of the people?
Yeah, so that's another great question, is what does it look like when you don't have a monopoly on coercive force? And I have to point to a great book that was written by Morris and Linda Tannehill. It's called The Market for Liberty. And they do a really good job of explaining what is a pretty complex concept. I think that if you think about, like, if if in this free marketplace where we have these competing protection services, they are operating at full liability, okay? Unlike the police, when the police get the wrong guy, and lots of them end up getting convicted and sent to prison, but let's say the police get the wrong guy and we find out that the police have gotten the wrong guy. Mm-hmm. Usually what they'll do is they'll let him out of prison, like, here's $100, good luck. And, you know, if he's lucky, he can turn around and sue and maybe get some money, maybe. In the case of a private agency, if a private company goes and arrests the wrong person, they've then committed a crime. They've committed kidnapping against an innocent person. So these private protection agencies better know what they're doing, and they better be certain they've got the right person, because they're at full criminal and civil liability for committing that act against an innocent person. If they arrest the right person, they actually get Jeffrey Dahmer, whoever the murderer is, then they get convicted in whatever the court system looks like in that case, right, and everybody's free and clear. But if they get the wrong person, they could lose their business because of the liability there.
And there has to be that level of liability. There has to be that point that it makes it not worth it. If the incentives are in place to do good, to do good things, then the incentives also have to be in place to prevent poor behavior, and that's the opposite of what we have today. Final thoughts?
And I really don't mean to be contrary by this at all, but if that were the case, this organization overstepped, who would guard the guards in that sense? Like, who would enact whatever justice on that group? Would it just be the largest group eventually would have the largest say?
We would. Have been discussions, but I invite you to call back in.
Yeah, let's look at that, though, when we come back. Thanks for the call.
Thanks for the call, Tom.
Absolutely. Thank you.
855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live, and we are coming to you tonight like we do every night, live, anxious to take your calls, anxious to hear what's on your mind. Our phone number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733.
That's right.
Dang, I got it right. Unbelievable. It's weird to try to do that. But we've been all over the place tonight. We've been talking about the raid down in Texas. We have talked about Venezuela. We've talked about drug legalization. And we've talked about just exactly what would a police force look like in a libertarian world.
I want to talk more about that, too, because our last caller had a really good question. Do you want to talk about smart cash first, though?
I'd be happy to, because I like this idea. Smart cash is a peer-to-peer digital currency. It's fast, secure, and easy to use. Smart cash is building a foundation that can support daily transactions for people everywhere. One feature that sets smart cash apart is the smart hive governance model and how the community can vote to fund the best projects with block rewards stored in the Smart Hive Project Treasury. Unlike other cryptocurrencies with voting systems, Smart Cash allows everyone to participate. One smart equals one vote. Smart Cash also features smart rewards, a price stabilization mechanism, and a way to encourage long-term holding. Long-term holders are key to the project's success. You can earn smart rewards on any address for which you hold the keys, which holds at least 1,000 smart for 1 month and does not make any outgoing transactions during that time. Smart rewards are distributed after every 47,500 blocks to all eligible addresses, and you can learn more at smartcash.cc. That's smartcash.cc.
Smart's on sale right now. It's close to a penny per smart right now.
It is really low, really low. This question kind of came up. We had talked about what a police force may look like.
Right, because we don't know.
In a libertarian world, and Ian shared something that has been kicked around a little bit, the idea of private security companies that would hold all the big thing is they would hold full liability for their actions.
Mm-hmm. So if they get the wrong guy,
right,
they've committed a crime themselves by kidnapping an innocent person.
Sure, and they could be sued. But I think where we were going with this is, they can be sued. Sued by who? Sued through what courts? You know, these are the questions that one, that this is the thing about libertarian thought, is one question inevitably leads to another one.
Right, because we are talking about a world that none of us have ever inhabited, a world where there are competing aspects in the world of protection services, but also in the world of justice, in the world of going to court. What does a court system look like in that world, right, where there are choices, where there should be choices, because there will be competition between them, because we don't want a government monopoly. We don't want any kind of monopoly,
right,
over important things, you know, whether it's education or whether it's justice or whether it's policing. We know that competition brings prices down, it brings quality up. But that doesn't mean that it's perfect, right? Like, we know that, right, in the business world, there's still corruption. There's still people doing bad things, people who are dishonest, and those people need to be outed, and they need to be held accountable for their actions. So let's talk about some of the ways that these police agencies could be held accountable, because our caller from – and thanks for the call. It was a great call from WLOB, I think, there in Portland.
Yep.
Was asking, well, okay, so you've got this bad agency that did the wrong thing. They arrested the wrong person for whatever crime we're talking about. They got the wrong guy. Well, who is it that holds them accountable? Is it the next biggest agency? Are we talking about power of size? Is it, right, you know, the Microsoft of police that, you know, come in there? And I don't think anybody wants that. I don't think that that's, you know, what the answer would be. But how about the, you know, kind of like in the same way that if you have a plumber who's not bonded or insured, you're taking a bit of a risk.
Sure.
Wouldn't it probably be the case that these protection agencies would want to have some kind of protection or insurance for their actions as well?
Right.
Meaning if they do the wrong thing, they botch it up, one of their agents gets a little overzealous, ignores some evidence and gets the wrong guy, that an insurance company could come in and say, welp, look, agency, you're going to need to put this person on probation. They're going to need to either get fired or re-educated, go through some sort of certification. We're going to pay out to this person that you wronged, that you kidnapped for 3 days or however long it was before they proved their innocence, or their innocence was revealed somehow. We're going to go ahead and pay that person out of this insurance policy that you've been paying on, and now we're going to raise your rates.
Yep, right. Your premiums are going up.
That's one option.
Yeah, and it is, and it's an option that we kick around a lot. I've heard that one a lot. The idea that, you know, it's no different.
And that
the
is thing very, is that's actually very similar to what already happens in some cities. Like the cops will get caught doing something, the city will have to pay out a lawsuit.
That's true.
And the insurance company for that city will raise their rates.
Sure.
It's just rare that they get caught doing things and held responsible for it.
Right. And frequently governments have lots of protections to keep them from being sued, from being actually held accountable for their actions.
Well, this comes back around to the first story of the sure. night where innocent, from what we can tell, innocent people were killed in their home that they had for 20 years sure. by cops who raided them on the say-so of an informant who supposedly went in there and bought drugs, but they couldn't find any drugs, and it right. was just an insane situation. I guarantee you those SWAT team agents are not going to be held accountable for their mistake, and no. in any way.
No. Neither will that informant.
Right.
Right. The idea that we have to come up with this brand new solution to every potential problem that would occur in a libertarian society, it's you're going to find most libertarians aren't going to try to come up with a whole new way. They're going to look at it like
the why existing systems will be adapted a little bit.
Right. Why reinvent the wheel? We know that the system of insurance works, and we know that that's a value for me to sell my service because I am insured. Then now we're looking at this question, realizing that 75-80% of the answers are already there. It's just a question of how it would be implemented and whether people would actually pay for that level of service.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to have that opportunity. But we do have to get back to some calls, and we've got Vernon. He has been watching us on Twitch, and
which you can do at twitch.lrn.fm, by the way.
Yes, you can. And Vernon's calling from New Orleans. Vernon, you're on Free Talk Live.
So, if let's just say you qualify for Social Security whenever you retire or whatever,
okay,
and let's just say that it doesn't go bankrupt and all that stuff, if you had the opportunity to claim Social Security, would you claim it?
Kind of two schools of thought there. The first of it is why would I accept money that was extorted from other people for me? And then other people look at it as like, well, government did the extorting. You really weren't guilty of anything. So why not get your own money back? because you were extorted against. Ian, do you, Michael, do you have a strong thought on that?
Well, I'm in the latter camp, and here's why. I think that actually taking that money will help bring down the state.
Okay. Ian?
Well, at the very least, it gets money out of their hands and into, you know, into your hands. They're going to give it out to somebody. So
it's going
why not,
somewhere.
Yeah.
Why so not? Since they took it from you, why not take it back?
Make it you. I don't pay Social Security, so I wouldn't take, you know, I don't think I would qualify for it. I mean, I did pay in for some number of years in my life, but yeah. I haven't paid in the last 14 years.
So did I.
So, you know, screw them. But I don't think there's anything wrong with taking money from the government. I personally wouldn't want to sign up for welfare myself, but I don't think it's wrong for other people to do it. Especially libertarians.
So, one other question.
Hang on. We'll bring
you
back.
You got more to say? We're going to put you on hold. We'll come back to you.
You want to know the 37 items you must have to survive a crisis? Then I've got some good news for you. Former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author Jason Hansen is now giving listeners a free copy of his book, The Escape Bag Blueprint, 37 Items You Must Have to Survive a Crisis. You can claim your copy at freeescapebook.com. Don't delay. Jason reveals the guns, knives, flashlights, and water filters that could save your life in an economic collapse or grid down event. Get your free book today, freeescapebook.com. freeescapebook.com.
This is Free Talk Live. We're free. We are live. We're here every night, and we're eagerly and anxious to hear what you have to say.
Well, we're free-ish.
We are free-ish. What's the ish?
We resemble somewhat free. I mean, we still can't say everything that we might want to because there's the pesky FCC.
But you don't get a monthly bill in the mail from us.
No, that's true. We're free to listen to. That much is true.
There we go.
Yeah.
We'll go with that. And we've been all over the place tonight like we are pretty much every night. If you're looking for your standard talk show where it's going to be one topic all night long, then this is not the show for you. If you're looking for intelligent discourse and lots of different ideas, many of which you probably never heard in your life, we're the show you want to tune into. And we've been talking with Vernon, and we're going to go back to Vernon right now. He's calling from New Orleans, and he's watching us on Twitch. But he had some questions about Social Security. Vernon, you still with us?
Hello, Vernon. He's not muted, is he?
Let's try that again. Vernon, you on the line?
So let's say you're unemployed, and I know you all don't have all of that, but let's just say you're in a tough spot and you needed a little bit of money. Would you file for unemployment insurance or anything? Unemployment benefits, I mean?
No, I did once.
Why not? I mean, you paid into it.
Yeah, I know people that do.
So, you know.
Hello.
We hear you just fine.
We can hear you.
Hello.
Yeah, I don't know what the problem is. I mean, we hear him fine. Maybe there's something got flipped on the network side.
No, it's your network.
Oh, so you are hearing us?
I am here. I can't hear you though. I'll call back.
All right. Thanks for your call, Vernon. Take care.
Take care.
Weird.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that was all about. But yeah, is it one of those things that you're not a real libertarian if you accept money from the government that you've already had taken from you from same said government?
No, I don't think that invalidates anything about whether or not you're a libertarian. I mean, a libertarian is just somebody who believes in and hopefully adheres to the non-aggression principle, which says that it's not okay to use aggressive force to achieve your goals, basically.
Right.
Political or social goals is what is said on the card I signed.
Right. I mean, if we're talking about a program into which you paid, then there's nothing wrong or aggressive about collecting the payments into a program into which you paid.
Did you have a choice in the matter? That's what makes it for me is not given a choice.
They took the money from me. They didn't ask if I wanted to give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So if they're offering to give a small fraction of it back, then why not?
I couldn't agree more. We're going to go to Emerson, who's calling from Michigan. He's been watching us on Twitch. Emerson, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hello. Cool. Awesome. Thank you guys for throwing me on here. I was wondering if it might be okay if I could bring to light this website that I found today, which is associated with blockchain.
blockchain technology, and it's basically, I feel like it could be a replacement for YouTube.
Really? What site's that?
It's d.tube. The tube, there's no comma or anything, it's just .tube. The letter D as in dog, and it's been made, it's essentially been made by the people, it's made for the people.
Is this the Steemit one? This is Steemit, right?
Or a Steemit competitor?
Yes. No, this is Steemit. This is bad. Yep. This is on the Steemit. I see. I don't know if it's on the blockchain or exactly how exactly this works, but somehow this is a Steemit project. I'm familiar with it. Have you used it before?
You know, I just found it today. I'm signed up. Sadly, I didn't have enough money to get the instant access because I really wanted to throw some videos on there. And it's like, dude, I see this could be like the next YouTube. Because I don't know about you guys. But when I'm on YouTube, I find it really awkward and weird that my ad block comes up with hundreds upon hundreds of blocks.
Yeah.
And if you've ever, if anybody has an Android phone,
yeah,
you guys got to realize, like,
I do have uBlock Origin, and every time I watch a YouTube video, that counter just keeps going up and up and up and up and up. It's trying to play the ads, but it's not playing the ads.
Right.
So that's why we have ad blockers. But yeah, DTube is the first crypto decentralized video platform built on top of the Steem blockchain and the IPFS peer-to-peer network.
Yeah, so it's IPFS that is doing the storage, so the videos themselves aren't actually on the blockchain, which is probably a good thing because blockchain is, you know, incredibly inefficient as far as databases.
Well, you'll have a pointer on the blockchain to tell you where to get it in IPFS.
Right, and so the really cool thing about DTube and these other concepts is that when you look at this the page, you can see these videos have a dollar amount associated with them, and so people paid directly, as I understand it, to make these videos. And you can make more, I think, in theory, through this platform than you could if you got views on YouTube.
Right, until YouTube gets tired of you and decides to demonetize all your content.
Right, yeah. But what I'm saying, even if you are getting money from YouTube, you can probably make more in theory from one of these systems, because then you're getting paid directly, whereas YouTube is going to take most of the advertising revenue for themselves, and then they're going to cut you the remnants, basically.
Yeah, and the idea that things like content and things like that can be decentralized, that you don't necessarily have to have a gatekeeper. If you build it, they will come. I really like that idea. Anything else, Emerson?
I would like to read one of our the Fourth Amendment from the Bill of Rights, if you don't mind.
Okay.
And make a small comment afterwards.
Sure.
Sure, go ahead.
The Fourth Amendment says the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Persons, and I would really like to point out the word on that, which is effects, because actions create reactions, which cause and effect. We have a right to our privacy, and it's not up to others to interpret what this our Constitution says, but it is up to us ourselves.
My God, what has happened to our Twitch callers? They've all of a sudden become like respectable, intelligent, well-spoken people. Thank you so much.
I do appreciate your call.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks
for
the call, Emerson.
I appreciate you.
Yeah, any night, man. Feel free to call back because you guys are making Twitch look good tonight. We've actually had good Twitch callers tonight.
I know. Words that we rarely say in the same sentence.
I want to say this about DTube. I have tried the DTube platform as a video creator. You know, I do videos for the Free Keen YouTube channel. And it's, to be fair, it's been probably most of a year, I think, since I've actually tried to use it to upload. But I was unsuccessful trying to upload Derek J's Victimless Crime Spree to the DTube platform. And it wasn't real clear what its restrictions are. Like, you can't upload bigger than X. You can't upload HD. You know, I'm not real sure. Maybe it's better now than it was. But I tried multiple. I tried re-encoding the movie to be smaller than a gigabyte because I'd heard that it was a gigabyte max file size. So I tried smaller than a gigabyte. It still wouldn't take the whole thing. So I did. I thought it was SD. I struck out. I was unable to upload a lengthy video because Derek Jay's is about a 90-minute long video. So I didn't try anything shorter because I was just, you know, frustrated with it for not being able to upload what I wanted to. Mm-hmm. But obviously there's, you know, hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of videos on here. So it's clearly working for plenty of people. It just, for me, when I tried it, it didn't.
Gotcha.
Well, the videos I saw on the homepage were like 3, 4, 5 minutes.
Yeah. And so that's what most people are uploading to video sharing sites anyway, because that's what people want to watch is short videos. So
for the most part,
it wasn't right for my application. And thankfully there are competitors as well. Right. So in addition to DTube, there's also Library, which is LBRY,
LBRY.io.
Yeah. And that's a good one. And they've come up with a way to actually automatically ingest from a YouTube channel. So that way you can just upload to the YouTube channel and then they'll grab it from YouTube. And you don't have to do two uploads and jump through extra hoops.
It's good stuff.
Sweet.
And to find out more about that kind of thing, listen here, because we're always talking about geeky blockchain stuff and good technologies. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450. This is Free Talk Live. This is Chris. We also have in studio
Michael,
Ian,
and we wanted to tell you a little bit about SpyCourse. Former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author Jason Hansen is giving away a book that covers the 37 items you must have to survive a crisis, things that can save your life in an economic collapse or grid down event at freeescapebook.com. The Escape Bag Blueprint, 37 items you must have to survive a crisis, is free for a limited time at freeescapebook.com. These 37 items don't come from some internet list. Instead, these items come from Jason's experience as a CIA officer where he had escape bags. In his free book, he also gives you advice on where the best guns, knives, flashlights, and water filters to have in an economic collapse or grid-down event. Get your copy at freeescapebook.com. And Vernon called in earlier, and unfortunately we had some technical difficulties, but he's back with us. Vernon,
and normally it's one call per night, but we make an exception for a technical problem.
Vernon,
thank
are you there?
You.
Go ahead.
I am. So I'm sorry. I got cut off. So I was just asking you all if you were to file for unemployment benefits, if you were in that position, would you as a libertarian take that? And I think I caught the tail end of that after I called back and said yes, because that was something you paid into, correct?
That is what I said. And I did once do that for about 3 weeks. So, yeah, I paid into it. I didn't actually pay into it. They took the money.
Without your consent.
Without my consent, without asking. So my point is, so if they're offering to give a small bit of what they took from me back, why not take it?
I'll also say this. I've taken welfare from tenants before, meaning that there have been times in the past where I've had tenants in a house that they were, you know, renting. I was the property manager of that house.
Right.
And they fell upon some hard times, and they went to the city of Keene, and the city of Keene has a program that allowed them to get like a month's worth of rent payments. I had to fill out a form or, you know, sign off on a form for them, basically, saying that as the landlord, I'm willing to, you know, whatever, blah, 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 or certify that they're behind in rent, basically. So they got this welfare check that was sent directly to me as the landlord. And, you know, I'd been paying property taxes on that property for years prior to that, so I didn't feel bad about taking a little bit of my property tax money back in that case. So even in the case of something like, you know, in the case of unemployment, you paid into a thing. In the case of something like welfare, it's more nebulous. It's like, well, at some point you paid taxes, And now there's this welfare program. Is it wrong to take back some of the taxes you paid? Even though it's not necessarily the taxes you paid in, you did pay in taxes into this governmental system.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah, don't think you're getting your own money back. What, no, the money you're
money
getting
is fungible
now,
anyway.
Right.
Right. The money you're getting back is what current workers are putting into it. You are, if you're older and you're on Social Security, you're not getting your money back. You are getting part of the wealth that young people are now earning. Because your money, that was gone long ago. That just doesn't exist anymore. Vernon, thank you so much for the call.
Wait. Two quick housekeeping things, please.
Go ahead, please.
One. Why did this call screener have to ask me for my phone number? And two, while Ian is in Mexico, are y'all doing recorded shows or live shows? Thank you.
We're going to do live shows in Mexico until we get to the conference. So Mark is down there. Mark's going to be in Mexico for the whole month of February. So he's showing up, I think, tomorrow in Acapulco. I'll be going about 6 days before, or maybe about a week before the actual Acapulco or Aaron Acapulco event starts. And so we're expecting to be able to do live shows. I'm going to be bringing my live show equipment down there. But at Anarchapulco, we will be doing recorded shows because it's impossible to do live shows from events like that.
Gotcha. Michael, what day are you leaving?
I am not leaving. I'm going to be here.
You did not get your invite. The first class plane ticket and all that stuff
talked me a plane ticket.
Ian was covering for all of us. No.
What was the first question?
That's news to me.
What was the first question? Do you remember?
He asked why the call screener asked for his number.
Oh, yeah. We've been having trouble with trolls calling in and saying words they're not supposed to say on the radio. So basically, certain people who meet certain qualifications, usually based on their age and gender, will get extra screening by having to give up their phone number. Because usually if your intention is to call and scream the F word on the radio, you're probably not going to give us your phone number, right? So that's kind of the idea. So if you do try to scream the F word on the radio, or at the very least, we have your phone number. Because if you're, you know, if you sound like you're a young person, we'll usually even call you back just to make sure you're giving us the real number,
right,
and that you're really at that number. So we don't like having to do that stuff. Free Talk Live's always been a very low screening environment. We really just want to know one word. What do you want to talk about? Where are you calling from? What's your name? Those are the basics of screening on Free Talk Live, whereas most talk shows want to know everything you're going to say. And if you stray from whatever it is you told the screener, they cut you off. If you challenge the host, they cut you off. If you disagree with the host, they won't put you on. We don't do that on Free Talk Live. It really is open phones. But if people are calling in, you know, wanting to scream the C word or the F word or something like that on the air, We've put in a few extra, you know, a couple extra steps for certain calls that sound a certain way. And Vernon, I know you're a good caller, but our board ops, they didn't know.
Yeah. So. And in the end, we do have to, we want to entertain you. We want to also help educate you.
Yes, but if it's not entertaining, it will never get to the education.
Exactly.
You know, nobody wants to listen to boring lectures, right?
Indeed. And David from New Mexico, he's listening on TuneIn. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hello?
Hey.
Hey, Dave.
When I'm in a polar... Can you hear me?
Yep.
I can.
Yep. When I'm in a polar vortex, I wear my polar Gore-Tex.
How cold is it down there in New Mexico?
Can't be that cold.
Oh, no, it's about 70?
No, it's actually been warm lately. It's been like it hit almost 60 today, but we don't usually get hit by that. When they're cold up northeast, we're generally warm. There's kind of the counter-rotating highs and lows thing. When they're getting cold air from the north, we're getting warm air from the south, and so don't usually suffer through that. But when I lived in Minnesota, I did 50 below zero in a camper trailer. When I came back from Europe, I had sold my house, so I was living in a camper trailer, and it was mobile, so I wasn't plugged in and using the furnace. I had a little kerosene heater on the floor, and I did 50 below regular with 100. It was a blizzard, so it was 100 below wind chill, and it was a sustained. It was one of those sustained. It wasn't just a night. It lasted a whole week.
Ouch.
50 below virtually every day.
Now, that's a polar vortex.
It is.
That's a polar vortex.
And last year in this area, we were broadcasting from Keene, New Hampshire, we had like a good... What was it, 2-3 weeks of solid, like, zero or thereabouts.
Oh, it was below. It was below zero.
And it was like
a couple weeks.
Every night was like with wind chills, it was 10 below, 20 below. And
I actually started, for the first time in the dozen years I've been living here, my pipes started to freeze up. The ones that were close to the walls started to freeze up. And that was crazy.
I thought I had done everything possible to protect my pipes, but last winter showed me the couple places I had missed. So David, you want to talk about college being a scam?
Yes, it is.
We agree.
Yeah, I agree. And and by the way, I once did 20 below in a tent. The college. I want to shift one step to the left, though. College scams, and it's kind of related. That same scam. I mean, our whole society is a scam. And this is related to the George Norrie Coast to Coast ad you're running. Is that your ad? Are they buying from you or
what is this Coast to Coast ad?
Probably a network ad.
Yeah, sounds like a network.
Yeah, it's probably a network.
What are they? What are they pimping? What are they? What's the product?
Just their program. Just trying to get listeners to listen to their program.
Coast to Coast is advertising on Free Talk Live? That doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. I could see it.
No, I couldn't see that. They are the behemoth. Why would the big show advertise on a little show? That doesn't make any sense.
George has been doing those. He's been going around the country doing his tour, and he's got different tour dates. It might have been advertising his tour dates as well. I'm not sure.
What do they do on tour? Coast to Coast do on a tour?
His fans like to meet him, and then all of the guests that he has on air, they all fly in and show up, and then his fans get to meet those guests that they listen to on air.
Wow.
And then George sings as well, so he puts on a concert.
Hey, all right. Now that's a reason to go out, right?
Like,
I can't imagine going out and watching George Norrie perform a show on a stage or something like that. He's always going to be compared to Art Bell. You know,
right?
How many times do people... Thank you for the call, David. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, man.
You know, how many times do people go up to him and compare him to Art Bell?
It's got to be every day. Poor guy.
George, did you ever meet Art? Did you ever meet him?
That's harsh, but we're out of time. Thank you for joining us. This has been Free Talk Live. We look forward to your calls every night. 855-450-FREE.
Are you a cryptocurrency advocate? The Crypto Tip is the ideal outreach tool to help new people discover cryptocurrency. It's a printable business card size tip that you can give to service providers, preferably in addition to a good cash tip. When the server scans the QR code, it'll bring up an explanation of cryptocurrency, how to install a wallet, and allow them to claim the tip. If they don't claim the crypto, you get your tip refunded to you after a time period you specify. Plus, if they do claim the tip, you get an email alert. Create as many tips as you want at cryptotip.org. That's cryptotip.org.